Welcome to Fear the Boot, bonus episode 11. If this is your first time visiting us, we'd like to welcome you to the show, and also suggest that you go and download one of our regular episodes first. These bonus episodes are neither on our normal subject matter, nor are they edited the same way that our shows usually are. If you're regular with the show, you may be wondering where episode 30 is. It looks like we're going to have to delay it a week just because of some internal planning and coordination problems going on behind the scenes. And to help you guys understand exactly what's causing that, we've put together an open letter that was posted on our forums. However, I realize that not everyone who listens to the show also checks our forums, so I want to go ahead and read that here. That letter goes as follows. Dear listeners, I wanted to write this open letter to explain what's going on at Fear the Boot. Several of you have wondered aloud, and I'm sure more have done so quietly, why the past several episodes have been late. This problem has been compounded further since the show intended for release on Monday, December 4th has been canceled completely, meaning that no regular episode will be released until the following week. While Fear the Boot is both a free service and a hobby, we still made a commitment to release high-quality episodes every Monday. Therefore, I feel we should at least explain why we haven't been able to do so regularly and what steps we're taking in the near future to set that right. When we started Fear the Boot, we went through a period of adjustment. We had plenty of ideas and had spent many hours doing research into podcasting. However, some elements of the show can only be perfected through experience. For example, we had to find the right pacing for the show, a good mix of hosts, the proper balance between entertainment and information, the correct running time, and settle many similar soft issues that help make our show successful. While we continuously invite critique and adjust our show accordingly, we had to make our biggest changes during the first several episodes. From talking with other podcasters, I understand this to be fairly normal for the life cycle of any show. As of a few weeks ago, we began our series on game design, intending to depart for several months from our normal range of topics on game execution. This was a series we were excited about kicking off, and many of you have written in to express your anticipation as well. Unfortunately, while game design seems closely related to game execution, we quickly found there to be a laundry list of details that set the two worlds apart. I openly confess we found ourselves underprepared for the radical shift in our show's subject matter. We now find ourselves facing many of the exact same problems we faced at the show's kickoff all over again. How should we pace this sort of information? What methods of presentation will work and which methods will fall flat? What subjects need to be covered and in what logical order to make the show useful? As with the kickoff, I'm not sure any amount of preparation would have avoided these soft problems that can only be understood and overcome through experience. However, unlike the kickoff, the show now has a fan base that rightfully watches us with a certain level of expectation. This left us with a choice. First, we could opt to release substandard episodes, asking you, the listeners, to accept the decrease in quality for the reasons expressed above. However, our philosophy has always been to choose quality first. Indeed, if we ever face a sufficiently extreme situation, I would sooner close down Fear the Boot than release patently shoddy content. I also have to imagine that if the show went through a long, low stretch of episodes, it would call into question the success we've worked hard to build. Second, instead of releasing the episodes, we could redouble our efforts to perfect them. We anticipate some criticism over our delays, but this sort of concern will likely pass as soon as we get the show back on track. This is what we've decided to do. I want to make clear that the recent delays have not been the result of laziness, distraction, burnout, or even other priorities. In fact, we have worked harder on these shows than anything else in our history. Episodes 28, 29, and 30 have all been recorded and discarded multiple times across several different nights because they never hit the mark we have set for the show. We've also worked out a path to set things right. The host has spent many hours discussing the problem in person, in email, and on our forums. With our understanding of the problems now mature, we will be meeting this Thursday to build corrected outlines for the next several shows. Furthermore, our current schedule of recording on Saturday, editing on Sunday, and releasing on Monday does not allow us any flexibility. A single problem anywhere along that chain means the episode will be at least a day late. Therefore, this weekend we will be recording two episodes, giving us a week in reserve, just as we used to have. This builds in some buffer time so we can have problems with the most recently recorded show while still releasing the prior one on time. In closing, I want to thank all of you for your support of the show and your patience as we work through this. We've been pleasantly surprised not just by the number of fans our show has had the privilege of entertaining, but also the quality of these individuals. I've enjoyed getting to know so many of you through the forums and email. Please bear with us just a little bit longer and we'll soon be releasing the sorts of episodes you've come to expect from us. In the meantime, we have a pair of bonus episodes we'll be releasing this week as a gesture of thanks to our community. So with that letter read, I want to go ahead and go straight into the bonus episode that we're releasing today. And thank you guys again for listening. Welcome to Fear the Boot, bonus episode 11 or 12. It's probably 12 because we recorded one before us. So we haven't run yet, but that may become 12 and this may become 11. So
actually, you've been sitting on that episode for a couple of weeks now, haven't you?
No, this one's only about a week old.
Because I thought the video game one actually bumped in line ahead of that.
Well, it did. It bumped off a... There was actually a tirade Dawn and I were having about the misuse of the English language that I don't think I'm going to run, because it was...
Well, of course you're not going to run it.
You have to run it now.
You need to re-record it and get me in on it, because I don't know if you saw, but like my form signature is bad grammar makes me S-I-C.
Well, actually, I have a new excuse. I can't run it, because we...
You use bad language?
No,
Did you use racial epithets?
You mean epithets?
Epithets.
Racial epithets. Here lies a black man. No, I taped over it is what happened.
How could you tape over it? It's just a file. When you record, you create a new
file.
Well,
it was about half an hour long. Friends was coming on. I didn't have a tape handy, so I just popped on Audacity.
He's got a 12 o'clock flash on his computer.
12 o'clock. No, I can't even say it.
I said 12 o'clock flash. Okay. You know, like the VCR that always flashes the 12.
Yeah. All right.
You were going someplace dirty with it.
I was.
Yeah, you...
I couldn't even say it. It was so dirty.
You sick prego.
You know, seriously, though, if you want to go on for an hour about the death of the English language, I'd be happy to participate.
Well, that's not what we're talking about.
Go on canvition.net for 5 seconds. Your eyes will bleed.
I mean, I could start with forums posts where people say, you know, that we want this or we want that, where I'm like, really? Because unless you're pregnant or schizophrenic, you're an I, not a we.
Well, you know what kills me? I would pay good money if we could get 50% of the internet population distinguishing between T-H-E-I-R, T-H-E-R-E, and T-H-E-Y apostrophe R-E.
No, don't bring it up!
All right, listen, today's bonus episode
thank you.
Is
that kills me.
About... candy.
Now I'm hot.
Well, we'll cool you off with some chocolate slather. Today's episode is about candy.
Now it's getting steamy.
I like candy.
Today's episode is about candy. We got a package of candy from one of our listeners, Jason, who on the forums is Crafter of Code, who was kind enough to send us an assortment of distinctive Australian candies. And...
Let's
start going down. We have Tex on the phone, who, of course, cannot be here to sample these wonderful Australian candies.
So we got him on the line.
So we got him on the line anyway. But you know what Tex can add to this is we can talk about the differences in cuisine between places. And Tex, since you lived all over Europe for several years, I mean, lived in Germany, but you traveled all over Europe while you were over there, I'm sure you picked up some pretty heavy cultural distinctions. So we're going to work through what we're eating here. And we have just now opened these things. And while we're getting this ready, Tex, I want you to talk about Mexican restaurants in Germany.
What?
Oh, well, it's a little bit broader topic, but as you, you know, travel around to different countries, there's different ethnic restaurants. But each restaurant, of course, is somewhat amalgamates its local culture. So, for example, if you go to a Mexican restaurant in Mexico... it will be different than a Mexican restaurant in the United States or a Mexican restaurant in Germany, for example. Actually, let me segue real quick out of that. I'll come back. My favorite restaurant in Germany to go laugh at was the American restaurant. It was called Starburger, and it was a restaurant in Germany that was supposed to be the American cultural restaurant in Germany. And they had it close, but they got all the little details wrong. Like, for example, the ketchup came in individual packets that you had to pay 5 pfennigs apiece for. And if this was truly an American restaurant, the ketchup would come in a hose. Also they had these little tiny, like, Baskin-Robbins napkins, like the napkins that they're just as thin as tissue paper, and then they're folded up to like the size of, you know, maybe 2 inches by 3 inches. And again, I was thinking, if this was truly an American restaurant, they'd have a spike in the middle of the table with a roll of paper towels on it. I mean, they're clearly not being wasteful enough.
Well, yes. You know something, speaking of our wastefulness, I was reading a column, this was months or even years ago, it was written by a British guy talking about how, you know, there's all this anti-Americanism and overseas and such, but he was saying, there are certain things I appreciate about America. I was listing all these things that in his travels to America, these distinctly American quirks he's come to love. And one of the things that he mentioned is the fact that in our bathrooms, we actually have like towels, like paper towels you can pull out. We don't typically have those obnoxious hand dryers everywhere.
That never truly get your hands dry, just kind of warm and moist.
Yeah. So, all right, so Mexican...
And then, of course, you're walking out of the bathroom, like, drying your hands on your pant leg because you stood there under the hand dryer for, like, 2 minutes and your hands still aren't dry and you don't want to stand there all day.
Well, it's better to walk out with wet hands than shake somebody's hand and make them uncomfortable because they're really not sure. All right, so text...
Well, to finish answering your question, the Mexican restaurants I went to in Germany were the most unspicy Mexican restaurants I've ever been to. I mean, I would actually order just some medium dishes because I normally like my Mexican food medium spicy. And it was just so utterly bland that when we went back the second time, I opened up the menu and I looked for the little thing that said, like, you know, warning, this is super duper hot, 5 alarms. It's got like chili peppers and flames and stuff around it and nuclear explosions. And I ordered that and it was really like about as spicy as ketchup, I guess. So that was insanely spicy, and they were like, you know, drinking tons of water and fanning themselves. And
all right, we're going to talk about American restaurants in Europe, but first, Chad, what is this you have right in front of you?
Well, okay,
what's the name of it? And what's it? Well, let's start. Just take one at a time. Pick one. I don't care. All pick right. one.
Well, I want to try this one first. It is the Cherry Ripe, the Big Cherry Taste, and. I really can't do it justice. I have to read the little blurb on back here. ripe, juicy cherries and coconut in old gold rich chocolate.
Ooh, man.
All right. Well, Chad's
pass that to Dawn.
Well, Chad's passing the bag around. Jason, by the way, thank you on behalf of all the Fear the Boot hosts for sending us. Yeah, except Tex. He hates you. But from the rest
Adam
of us.
Adam is rude. He won't eat.
Thank you for sending us.
I don't eat chocolate.
I don't hate him, really. I'm just kind of drowning in my own ambivalence on the subject.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jason.
Except for now.
Will you guys shut the hell up?
Sorry.
Thank you, Jason, for sending this. And also, Jason included a little note here. It says, hey, guys, please accept the enclosed treats. And by the way, this is all an Australian accent. Please accept the enclosed treats as a tangible form of appreciation for your continued efforts in producing Fear the Boot. Enjoy, Jason. So, thank you, Jason. All right, I'm now eating this chocolate ripe.
That's pretty good.
It's like a super sweet almond joy without almonds.
Yeah, it's like a cherry almond joy.
Well, they must be incredibly good because Dawn was so distracted she didn't like give me kudos for correctly using the word ambivalence.
Good job.
Yeah, it does. It tastes like an almond joy.
Ooh. Yeah, no almond, but kind of cherry flavor.
And coconut.
And yeah, that's what almond joy is.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Mounds has nuts, almond joy doesn't. Or no, almond joy has nuts, Mounds doesn't. So I guess this is actually what Mounds, not an almond joy?
Actually, I can keep cherry. That straight because no. When I was in college, one of my fraternity brothers, his girlfriend made matching Halloween costumes for them.
The Mounds has
and
a chocolate.
And she was Mounds and he was almond joy because almond joy has nuts and Mounds don't.
Nice.
You know, yeah. I guess when you're a 19-year-old girl, that's really cute.
No, I'm a 23-year-old man and I think it's funny. It's just like I have a face full of coconut cherry.
All right, now, Chad's opening the next one.
Should I continue talking about international candy, or...?
No, we'll come back to German candy. We'll talk about marzipan and such in a little bit.
Ew,
we can talk about Japanese candy, too, because if you want, because a bunch of my coworkers are from Japan, and so anytime that they go home and visit family or they have family come over, it's traditional to bring a gift of candy, and so we actually constantly have a stock of Japanese candy at work.
I love pocket.
Yeah, here we go.
I guess they don't like the Japanese candy.
Dan's like, here comes pocket. Dan, you cussed.
Yeah, all right, 9 minutes and 9 seconds on the Raws where I got to take that out. Which is probably going to be a little different for everyone at home because we had a leader on there to get Texas and our voices lined up. All right.
So, Dan, why do you hate Pocky?
You know, he doesn't like anime either.
I think he hates Japan.
We'll talk about that in a minute. We'll come back to that.
You racist.
You flaming racist. Get off our podcast.
You know what? We have listeners. All over the place.
Right.
I do not think
except Japan.
We have not yet gotten a single listener from Japan.
No, we have them. You just cut them off.
That's right.
I mean, we even have people in China that have written in saying they listen to us, but I don't think we've gotten a single... No, I think there actually was an expat in Japan, but that doesn't count.
Well, you do have one, but I'm not sure if he counts. He's one of my coworkers that just wanted to listen to the show I was in.
Oh, what's his name? Oh, well, that doesn't count.
His real name or his gamer tag?
Okay, so he doesn't actually follow the show. He just listened for you?
Right. Okay. So does that not count?
No, it doesn't count.
Okay.
If he listens to us regularly, we'll do a whole bonus episode about him and about Japan and such. But
we should do a bonus episode about this guy we've never met. Just right. Make up a whole story about him.
Right. We talk too much, so Tex, we'll come back to the American restaurants in Europe. Chad, what is the next thing up?
It is... How do you pronounce that, guys?
Tim Tam?
No. Arnott?
Arnott.
Tim Tams. The classic dark. Oh, there's a little blurb here. The most irresistible chocolate biscuit.
Oh, I bet.
Biscuit.
Actually, I was reading up on these things.
Grands make some good biscuits. Those big lumberjack biscuits.
It's a cookie.
I know.
Okay. But no, I was reading up on these things, and apparently these are like some Australian delicate dog. You cannot have any of this chocolate.
That's why I came down here. You heard all the cellophane.
Yeah. No, apparently this is like some sort of Australian national treasure or something like that. They're really, really big on Australia. I don't know. The article I was reading about them, they were just going crazy. They were like, there's something about dipping them in coffee and the you won't, okay.
Did you know Fear the
Boot? Pass the food. Just
pass them out. All right, here you go.
Did you know Fear the Boot is the national treasure of Liechtenstein?
Is it Liechtenstein? Really?
All right, so these are Tim Tams.
These are supposed to be really good. I haven't read a bad review about them yet.
Huh.
Hmm.
You know, in all the times I traveled to London, one thing I kept meaning to find out and just never did was I understand that in other parts of the world, what we know as a cookie, they call a biscuit.
Mm-hmm.
So what do they call what we call a biscuit?
Bread?
I just
seen an English muffin?
It was one of those things I kept meaning to ask and never did.
Let's just make up a word. They call it a Lowry.
No, that's a truck.
I know. That's what, we'll just insert
that's
that.
Lowry.
Well, that's a Lowry. That's right. We'll just insert that anywhere.
You know, Carla, couldn't you hear us?
Oh, Carl, if you want to catch up, this is the first sample. Anyway, this is really good. It's kind of it's a crispy chocolate wafer with like a chocolate covering. And but I can definitely see why you're talking about how they like dip it in coffee.
Oh, yeah.
I can see why, because it's not like bland, but it doesn't have like a super complex flavor to it.
Right.
So
right.
I can see why you would want to mix it with something.
It's a chocolate graham cracker.
Yeah. But it has a good flavor.
Or Pop-Tart.
No, the cookie
I'm
in it is like real light
from the middle,
whereas a graham cracker is very heavy, and the flavor is totally different.
All right, give her all that Tim Tams. Is that we're. We're out of mics, plus we're not sure you'd want six hosts on one episode.
You know, if we wanted to make this a quality bonus episode, we could do like Iron Chef, where you guys could have these really esoteric comments about the cookies.
Okay, and since this is Fear the Boot, and we have to talk about something incredibly naked. Naked.
Wow.
Oh, my.
Maybe for a later bonus episode.
I'm naked. But,
Adam just got back from a yiff.
Yeah, sometimes you should just make like a highlight reel of all the host Freudian slips.
You cannot eat all of those.
Yeah,
she took
I think
the
we are, Jack.
Box.
Bring them back. Tim Tams.
Oh, my God.
You are not eating
okay,
all of them.
Okay, Tim Tams went over well.
Okay.
All right, now, Tex, hold on. Tex, well, American restaurants in Europe. Because over here we have quote unquote Chinese restaurants.
Uh-huh.
Now, our Mexican restaurants are fairly authentic because of the fact that America being so close to Mexico has a large Mexican immigrant population.
Well, but, that's debatable.
Well, but it's pretty close. But what we know beyond any shadow of doubt is our Chinese restaurants are completely all wrong. In fact, a lot of the really big dishes here in Chinese restaurants is cashew chicken, which was invented in Springfield, Missouri. So we know those are all wrong. What were American restaurants like in Europe? No,
it's just the because they have so many American chains anyway, like KFC, which is, by the way, huge in
London.
Do
they have like a McSchnitzel?
McSchnitzel, get out.
No, I mean, I ate at McDonald's in Germany quite a bit. The main differences were that you could order a beer and that they never put ice in the sodas.
Tex, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
You ate at McDonald's, right?
In Germany? Well, yeah, I've eaten at McDonald's
elsewhere.
On like three continents. But.
When my wife and I honeymooned in Costa Rica, and we went to McDonald's, and they have a different tasting ketchup than we do here. They put sugar in their ketchup, and it is the sweetest.
Oh, we put sugar in our ketchup, too.
Well, okay. All right. But this is not the same kind of ketchup. It's a sweet ketchup, not a vinegary ketchup.
Okay.
We was asking, did they have that in Germany?
Was it the same
Or did
way?
They do the English thing and use mayonnaise on everything?
They did the mayonnaise
thing. That's
more
of a European thing.
I thought it was a
toll. Oh, and it's not just... Yeah.
All right, so Tex, what were the...
Japan is being...
I was impressed. They managed to put more fat in French fries by dipping it in mayonnaise.
All right, so...
Like, there's already 54 grams of fat in your meal, but we can add mayonnaise.
All right, so putting aside the chains like McDonald's and KFC, do they have just any like locally done American-themed restaurants, American food?
Well, like I mentioned, Starburger, which is not an American chain. It's just a German-American restaurant. But I think they were somewhat rare just because of the huge proliferation of American chains. It was somewhat unnecessary to have an American-themed restaurant.
Right. Okay.
Huh. All right, next one.
Next up.
Next candy.
As I was saying in the Naked episode, Fear the Boot always has to do something negative. Because we're elitists and very negative elitists
at right.
that. So now we're going
to come down from our ivory tower.
And if you cannot identify sarcasm, we're even more elitist than we actually are.
Excellent.
They just don't understand me.
This next one is made by Nestle, apparently. It is Violet Crumble.
Which would be cooler if it was Violent Crumble.
Well, it still wouldn't make it taste good because this stuff tastes like ass.
All right,
just
the Violet Crumble, we actually got a hold of this from, was it Tony?
Tony gave us
a candy bar. Yeah, Tony gave a candy bar of Violet
Crafter
Crumble.
Crafter of Code gave us a big box
and
of them.
The thing about Violet Crumble is pretty easy taste-wise to identify. It is exactly like astronaut ice cream.
It is astronaut. It has to be. Like
dipped in chocolate.
Yeah.
So if you like astronaut ice cream dipped in chocolate, Violet Crumble's for you. If you don't, it's not.
Dawn, run.
Really good.
Carla says it's really
Carla
good. I thought she was
it.
About to kiss Dawn, which would have made this show very different, but she just said it's very good.
I approve.
Dawn, what do you think? This is the first time you've had it. None of the other hosts who've had it are eating it because it's so hideous.
You know, I like the astronaut ice cream. It's just
had
the
it
combination.
I'm still trying to decide.
Is I really like astronaut ice cream.
Astronaut ice cream is one of those things that you have in moderation for the novelty. I mean, I remember when I was when you and I were in high school, we went to Huntsville, Alabama, and the actual astronauts were like passing around to us, but they didn't want any. They're like, oh, here, they brought in this whole big crate of astronaut ice cream, and they were giving it to all the high school kids, and we're like, you want some? And the astronaut's like, nah, it's cool, don't worry about it.
It's just, I think what messes it up for me is the chocolate on it. Like, if it had no chocolate on it.
It's not bad. It reminds me of, you know when you get Whoppers, and when they get wet in your mouth, and you crunch down on it.
Are we talking about a Burger King Whopper or the candy?
No,
I think she means the malt.
The ones that are, you know, the malted milk balls.
Huh.
No, they're pretty gross. They're
I'd eat Whoppers.
I think Violet Crumble. I keep on wanting to say
why
violet.
Does it have violet in the title? That makes no sense.
Because the wrapper is purple?
It's a misspelling of Violent Crumble. It's what it
I was wondering that, too.
After you eat it, you fly into a berserker rage and go kill some
squirrels. Now, is your issue with this cuisine the taste or the texture?
Both.
For me, it's taste.
To me, it is like eating chocolate-covered styrofoam.
All right.
Texture.
He doesn't like mushrooms either.
Not true. I like portobellos.
He decided he liked portobellos.
And Whittier's and hot and sour
portobellos
sweet and sour
taste kind of like
hot and sour soup is like nothing but mushroom soup.
Yeah, I know.
It's like 50 different mushrooms.
I like it too.
Oh, yes, I don't know why. I hate mushrooms.
I love mushrooms.
Okay, next one.
Let's do a little bit of filler here. We got to set up the suspense because you guys were asking.
This episode is nothing but filler.
Bonus episodes are all filler. They're just entertaining filler. We hope.
Nothing but a bunch of BS.
Japan.
Why do you hate Japan
hate
them
right.
so much?
Here's my thing on Japanese culture stuff. I have absolutely no problem with Japanese culture stuff.
It's
I gotta
just
say,
you hate the people.
Some really cool stuff has come out of Japan. But what
like
sours
coffee.
Me on it is the fact that within America, there's this whole cultural movement of like psycho Japan fanboyism. Where anything that comes out of Japan is wonderful, and anything that comes out of
for you.
And anything that comes out of America is crap.
I came up with a term for this. It's called Jowhitey. White people who want to be Japanese, and everything about them is superior.
I have to deal so much of this. Where you know, there's some really cool anime, but a lot of anime is really no better than what comes out of Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah.
But it's like
Hanna-Barbera is the bottom. Of the barrel.
Oh, I know. And that's what gets me. I've kind of have this sort of pushback on the whole thing because I'm so tired of having these joities, as you call them.
That's right.
Just rave about how everything Japanese is so perfect and wonderful and everything American is crap that it just kind of at some point it's like, okay, what's your deal, really?
Hey, we watch a lot of the same TV shows. I don't think the American stuff is crap. I can just recognize the good when I see it.
You know what? With American stuff, we have really good stuff, and we have a lot of crap. And with Japanese stuff, they have some really cool stuff, and they have a lot of crap. there are Japanese things I really, really like.
Yeah, like FLCL that is unwatched on your table. But
I just get tired of having the whole thing endlessly rammed down my throat. So I have a sort of pushback where, you know, you just get these statements of fact. Like, if you're in an English class, Shakespeare is good. This is a non-negotiable point. It's just a truth, whether you agree with it or not. And it's the same thing
so
with Pocky.
So you say you don't like Shakespeare now?
Actually, I don't. But it's
you really?
Not really don't. But it's Pocky's the same way, that if you're into gaming and all, you love Pocky, period. It's like a non-negotiable point.
I don't like Pocky.
I like Pocky because it tastes good.
I don't like Pocky because it has chocolate on it.
So the answer,
I like mousse chocolate.
You know, you can get Pocky without chocolate. Yeah. You can get like strawberry.
Yeah, but then you're just buying it because it's Pocky.
No, because it tastes good. Like the almond covered Pocky is great. It's a great candy. It's
so
a great snacking candy.
To answer your question, I love a lot of Japanese stuff. My rolling the eyes is a pushback against an American phenomenon, not anything Japanese. All right, Chad, what's up next? Will you stop touching the damn mic?
I do it once. Dawn does it 10 times. I do it to tell her not to do it, and then I'm the one touching the damn mics.
Because I saw you do it. I saw you do it.
Okay, I'm going to say, Dawn, stop touching the mics because it sounds like that, okay?
I couldn't hear it.
Yeah.
You could give...
I could.
Yeah. All right, Chad, what's up next? We're all fiery tonight.
I know. You're all pissed off and angry. I like it.
It was that big sweet potato I had.
The next one is Japanese.
All right, Adam, tell us about the sweet potato.
It was a big sweet potato with butter and cinnamon sugar on it.
It didn't look really good.
You see what? When we were at the restaurant, he's like, oh, baked sweet. I'm going to get a baked sweet potato.
No, that's not what I got all fired.
I got And
no.
Then it's just like, now it's just like, oh, Adam, tell us the sweet potato. Tell us how fired up it got.
Well, it was a big sweet potato, and now I'm digesting it. It has sapped my strength.
Uh-huh.
It was a vicious battle between me and the sweet potato, and I have thrown down victorious. In about 8 hours, I will throw him down and cast his ruins upon the earth.
You'll smote his ruins upon the porcelain.
That's what I was going for. Thank you, sir.
All right, Chad, what's up next?
What we have here is simple Turkish delight. Have you ever had any?
No, I have not.
It sounds like a bizarre sexual act I would get in Amsterdam.
It's like gooey stuff with the powdered sugar on it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I really like Turkish Delight. Now, this is Fry's Turkish Delight. I've never had it. I don't know if this is, like, real high quality. It's a gummy sort of snack.
I'm familiar with it, of
gummy?
Course. Well,
yeah. Okay, guys. No chocolate. I've been, this violet crumble has been dissolving in my mouth for about 5 to 10 minutes now.
It's rehydrated.
Dawn, when
it's
you picked it up and opened
nasty.
It, and I told
the
you no.
Yes.
I told
awful.
You don't. What are you talking about? Right. That's not gummy. That's chocolate.
I've never had Turkish Delight.
What? Oh, it's chocolate-covered
chocolate-covered gummy.
Turkish Delight. Excellent.
I've never had Turkish Delight. Where I'm familiar with it from is, of course, Lion, Lich, and the Wardrobe.
Right.
It's mentioned there. But
oh, no.
What?
Oh, no. There's gummy underneath the chocolate. No. I reject
it. I have never had chocolate-covered
Now I'm
Turkish
afraid.
Delight.
Oh.
Did you smell it? Oh, did you eat it?
Yes.
I got to say, I love Turkish Delight. I enjoy chocolate. This ain't working. This is a no.
This is like that rose water flavor
chocolate
or something.
Like gummy licorice.
It tastes like a rose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is. It's rose flavored.
Yeah, you can get
but
rose
you know, actually,
flavored.
In the Middle East, rose is a popular flavor.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is.
Mm-hmm.
I'll try and remember.
Like, you can get rose flavored tobacco and such. It's mm-hmm. a real popular flavor.
There's a world market or a global food, so it has like all the different kinds of stuff. Dawn and I will stop by and get some real Turkish Delight. This is excellent. Mm. Excellent.
Yeah, the stuff that with pistachios in it.
Yeah.
I think separately, these constituent parts may have been okay, but the gummy rose candy inside of the chocolate.
No.
And that chocolate was kind of like cheap, bad chocolate. Yeah.
I gotta
go purge.
I think
it's all Cadbury.
No.
No, this one isn't.
This is Fry's.
Oh, okay.
So far, what's our winner? The Tim Tams?
Oh, Tim Tams.
Tim Tams are winning.
We got one more to go.
All right, we got one more.
And he also gave us a Tim Tams original. We ate the Tim Tams. Did you steal the Tim? Carla continually steals the Tim Tams, and I continually catch her. It's like this fox and hound game.
Well, I know what to get her for Christmas now.
She gave her two cases.
Get her a kilo of Tim Tam.
See the division
Grind
that you've caused
up.
In this group, Crafter Code?
It's got this great label on it, too. The Arnott's. It has, like, this parrot eating a cracker. I love it. This is great.
And Arnott sounds like our nuts if you say it right, so.
Our nuts.
Nice.
Crafter of Code, you have single-handedly lowered the bar for Fear the Boot. Thank you.
We love you, Crafter.
Now, I'm trying to... This candy bar... Here, let me read it.
You open that like a woman. Give me that thing.
Yes, break it apart.
Yeah, but I don't
want to...
Oh, look at that.
No, no.
Oh, you don't... Because it's filled with liquid, you idiot.
Yeah, look at all the liquid gushing out.
Yeah, look at all the dog hair on it now. Great.
He'll
There's
eat
no
it.
Dog hair. All right, I'll put this one aside.
Yes, please.
See, if you hadn't opened this thing up like a complete Nancy, this would not have happened.
Yeah, clean the peanuts out of your hair.
Dawn.
Okay, this is like a Cadbury dairy milk snack candy bar.
Okay, I get
it's huge
pineapple,
gigantic candy bar.
Wait, Cadbury?
Whatever the hell this is.
Okay. What is this orange stuff coming out of the chocolate?
It's probably orange.
Yeah, there's goo in there. There's goo in there. There is coconut ice, pineapple, strawberry, Turkish delight, caramel.
Oh, not more Turkish delight.
Oh, I mean, there's different pictures on the different squares.
And there's on the package, there is a key to match up the flavor and with the symbol.
Oh, I need it.
Yeah.
What did I get?
Here, pass me.
I got coconut ice and Turkish delight.
Oh, I'm going for this caramel.
Turkish delight is the rectangular, the concentric rectangles.
This one? No, this is. I got orange and pineapple.
I've got caramel in my beard. But it's really good.
You want the pineapple?
Here, take this. This is really gross.
Well, this is strange. It's like a candy bar where you can, like, from one bite to the next, love it or hate it.
Yeah.
That's kind of unusual. You know, this reminds me of, and I'm sure this is all over, those like, Whitman candy samplers.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the other company that makes the candy samplers?
Verbs?
No.
Well, that's a local thing, I think.
That's the one. The other big company that makes the chocolate
Whitman,
candy
Fannie
sampler.
Mae.
Godiva?
No.
I don't know. Anyway.
I don't remember.
Whitman's the one I see the most, but it's kind of like that. Where
have you guys had the pineapple ice? That's really good.
I don't know what it was. A strawberry thing. I wasn't too big on that.
Pineapple's good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that one wasn't too bad. I'm not sure what it was.
I got an orange and some caramel over here. I see everybody is working around the licorices.
Which one's licorice?
Not in the mood for ouzo flavored chocolate.
Where's the key? I think it's this one with the box.
Wait, hold on. This one?
Wait. No, Turkish delight.
Oh. It's Turkish delight.
I'll do it.
All right, so text.
Whoa. Oh, I got one. Here it comes.
Talk about German candy. Was there anything you had over there you can't find here you really miss?
Oh, yeah, Texas is with us.
Well, the main thing that everybody's crazy over in Germany, I believe, is available in America now, which is Nutella.
Nutella.
Yes.
Oh, it's that
the peanut hazelnut spread.
Hazelnut butter?
It's like peanut butter, but it's made with hazelnuts. Yeah, it's the big thing. It's actually really disgusting.
Is it? Not counting the...
But then again, I hate Shadowrun, so what do I know?
You elitist son of a bitch.
Well, where I lived in Germany was actually fairly close to the French border, so every couple of months when there'd be a street fest, we'd all go down there and we'd have these Nutella crepes, which were pretty good.
Turkish delight. No, dude, it was a Turkish delight. It was the same one we just had. The gummy inside the chocolate. What have you done? I was just showing you.
I just ate it.
I'm glad you took that one for the team.
Boy, did I.
Good job.
What's that one?
That's Turkish delight.
Oh, no. I'm not falling for that twice, woman.
I was just showing you. You took it out of my hand and ate it.
Ew.
All right. Can we be done with this?
Is that it on the candy?
Unless you want Tim Tam's original.
Yes, we had the dark chocolate. Let's do a Tim Tam's original.
I'm all chocolatey now.
Yeah, me too.
Tex, what are you doing over there?
I was just shifting my weight in my really cheap office chair.
Ugh.
And I know what to get you for Christmas.
A good office chair? Well, actually, it's ironic that Meg has a really good office chair that I'm not using right now. I guess I should swap chairs for the real episode.
Yeah, it's not like she's going to need it like tomorrow or anything, so.
That's true.
Wow, the regular Tim Tams look just regular.
Well, it'd probably make a lot more noise if I were to change chairs now, but I guess when we start recording
we'll do that
episode,
before the regular
I'll change
episode.
Chairs.
And just to explain that to our listeners, Texas wife to me.
To be honest with you, how many people do you think are still listening to this?
Oh, thousands, millions.
God, I hope none.
Man, ever since we got picked up by satellite, I mean, I can't even. But Texas wife Meg is a. What is she, captain in the army?
Yes.
So she's in Iraq right now.
I'm sorry.
What does she do down there?
She is a sniper.
She just drives
and
around.
And then, from out of nowhere,
sniper!
That's a Turkish delight sniper.
So what does she actually do down there?
If I had to describe her job in civilian terms, I'd describe her as an office manager.
Actually, I like these Tim Tam originals more than I do the darks.
Yeah, me too, because I don't like trouble.
I like the darks. It's a different kind of thing for me. I think I like the dark better.
But I definitely have to say, that doesn't mean one is bad and one is good. They're both fantastic. Tim Tams.
This must be the best episode to listen to, because...
That's why I've been trying to throw in all these other conversations, is to keep this interesting for everyone else.
No, I'm talking about everybody talking about their mouthful.
There's no way it's going to be...
This bonus episode's a wash.
All right, well then let's wash it up with the stop button and move on to the regular episode. Thank you guys for tuning in. We will catch you next time for a regular episode.
Thank you, Crafter.
Thank you.